All right, you all know the drill. When your number is called, step forward and repeat the phrase you've been given. Understand? Number one, step forward.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
What up, H-Town? Hey, how we doing? It's an F-Yeah Friday on The Usual Suspects. So glad you're along with us for the ride on a Friday. Hopefully you're wrapping up your work week and getting ready for a fantastic weekend. Barry is on the road, heading to Arkansas to do a little comedy. So therefore, third member of the team slides into chair number two. Nick Sciarra with me. Nicholas.
What up, man? I believe Barry's on the road right now. He's in the car right now because he said he was going to leave around 11 or noon today.
Right, but so chances are he's listening to us or he's listening to throwback to the 80s chick flick.
He's not listening to me. He even said, bottom of the barrel, Nick. I'm not listening to that crap show. That's what he just said. Didn't he just say that yesterday?
He did say don't screw it up.
I'll try not to.
You're not going to screw it.
I'll try not to.
I'm not worried about that. But I am worried and concerned if he's not listening to us. I think he should be. It's part of the dedication to the show.
He might be. He's got the app. Everybody else should download the app. ESPN 97.5.
Boom. Right off the top. Tip number one, pointer that you should follow. Do that while you're at it. If you miss any of the show,
you can also
download or check the podcast during that. And by the way, Mr. I'm Above This was not very excited to be filling in his previous role of producer today.
Who, Tyler?
Yeah, because I walked by Tyler after you told me he's producing. I was like, you excited? And he's like,
I wasn't planning on doing this.
I was like, oh, joy to the world.
Well, you know, sometimes he steps out of his assistant program directing role and gets back into the producer.
I tell you that I just called, know how to push your buttons. That's it.
Yeah. I called him yesterday trying to help the station, looking out for our team. And he saw it was me calling. He goes, yeah.
That's how I answer the phone with anybody that I know or that I work with.
Okay.
All right. I used to do that too. But then it kind of bled over, and I started answering my mom like that, and she didn't like it.
She's
like,
I can see that.
Do not answer the phone that way.
It's either a yeah or yeah, what's up?
Like, if I saw like a coworker when I was with the Rockets calling me, there's no way I could do yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Like, one of my boys? Okay, I get it.
Right.
But even still, you know, I'm not very rude, so I'm not going to do that. But other people that just, you know, have a blatant disregard for other people's
not very rude. I wouldn't go that far, sir.
Jeez. Wow, I didn't need that early in the show.
It's early. We still got plenty of time to be mean to each other.
It is.
So what about Taylor? How is she recovering from that fall?
The lip is better. Lisa said it was night and day better. It definitely is and was. So she's good. So she's back at school and everything looks to be on par. She's real cool. Tomorrow, Lisa's got to sign her up for a dance class. And I didn't realize this, but there's a dance instructor in Sugar Land that's been teaching for like 20 some odd years. And based on what I see that we're paying for like her swim lessons and stuff, I'm like, oh God.
Yeah.
Lisa goes, hey, she's got dance class tomorrow at like 10. I was like, all right, cool. She goes, it's a really neat deal, but she has to wear a tutu and dance outfit and she has to have real like dance shoes. And I'm like, already? She goes, yeah. But the neat thing is the lady won't charge any kid until they realize they like it. Because they're going to teach them actual jazz, ballet, and tap.
Well, that part's cool.
And Taylor really loves dancing. So she basically says, anybody's welcome, any kid, but they have to follow instructions. They can't be just doing off on their own.
Right.
And then after like a couple of different times, they either like it or they don't. If they don't, just walk away. If they like it, then you can start paying because they'll really start getting into teaching them dance. I was like, that's pretty badass.
Yeah, because you don't want them to have the opportunity to change their mind because let's face it, they're kids. They can change their mind in a heartbeat. And if they don't feel like doing something, guess what? They may not do it.
Yeah.
So good for her. I'm glad she's recovering because I know that fall that she had.
Oh, boy.
Was pretty bad.
Yeah, it was. We were definitely concerned. So, yeah, thank you for asking. She's good. So, and it doesn't change her attitude, which is fantastic. She's still just happy-go-lucky, ready to go. So, today is good because no uniform at school. And she got her two favorite foods, pancakes for breakfast and pizza. They serve pizza for the kids Fridays for lunch. Cheese pizza, and her day's great. She's
cool. Yeah. Cool. I was in a random place last night that I did not expect to be. I was actually out having drinks. I know that comes to...
Shocker.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I just met some people, and I've met them a couple of times, like just because they live in the area.
Uh-huh.
But I had no idea who they were. We've kind of become, you know, friends.
Sure.
Went over to their house, and I'm like, this house is really nice. And she was like, do you know whose house this was or used to be? I'm like, who? Anna Nicole Smith.
Really?
I was in Anna Nicole Smith's old house.
Like before she got hooked up with the super rich guy.
This is years ago. Apparently she has a house there and one in Cyprus.
So she lived here previous to meeting the rich old guy.
Yeah.
Wow.
I believe so. And what's funny is that the house is super nice. It's just not big.
Okay.
It's a super nice house. At first I kind of doubted the situation, but then apparently there's like a book. I don't remember the name of it. And I'm looking at the pictures and there's like a staircase that looks identical to the one that I'm standing in front of inside this house. So I thought that was pretty cool. That was random. That was super random.
So the people actually were telling you it was Anna Nicole's house and then were able to back it up with the book.
Yeah. And they, apparently they have paperwork to prove it too. But they've been there for like 2 decades. I had no idea the house was even there.
That's crazy.
Yeah. How long has she been dead? It's been at least 10 years.
I know
right?
I used to, because Lisa used to watch the reality show was a big thing for a while.
Yeah, so she died in 2007. That's probably right around the time the reality show was big, like 04, 05, 06.
Yeah. And then they had reruns and stuff, because I'd see them. But I'm like, you know, she always seemed like she wasn't all there.
Yeah, especially after, you know.
But she was the guest model.
Yep.
Before she was in Playboy.
Yep.
And she was popular. And then her daughter and that crazy guy that was like kind of her, I don't know, her assistant slash... secondary boyfriend?
I would assume so. Yeah, I would assume crazy. So
you were at her old house in this area.
Yeah. It's pretty beautiful. It's a beautiful home. It's just not massive. It's one of those older homes that are really nice.
Uh-huh.
It's just not big. It's just not a really, really big house. But I thought that was a random.
That's pretty
random,
cool though.
Yeah.
All right, Tyler, top it. What do you got? What happened to you last night? Anything happened to you last night or this morning or
what did I do? I went to go play bingo in the Heights.
Which is actually entertaining.
It's very fun.
Yeah.
Especially since they let you bring in your own wine.
I've heard this. We've had callers tell us
stuff. Yeah.
Did you win?
No. One of the people that I was with, she came 4 numbers away from hitting the very last bingo, which is worth like $600.
Dang.
And she came 4 numbers away, but she only needed one spot. So
almost
had it.
Dang. We've had callers call in to tell us about how fun. As a matter of fact, I think Tracy is also one of the people that have done it in the past.
Tracy
Cowley, I think she's done it in the past.
Yeah.
And I've said how fun it is.
I thought it was mainly, until 2 or 3 years ago when we did a gig at Carbach,
mm-hmm.
that was when I realized that there's a young crowd that actually plays bingo because I never did.
Oh, no, it's like it's becoming a big thing again.
Yeah. Well, I remember going a few summers back, probably like 4 or 5 years ago, whenever I first got introduced to it, I'm like, so many young people here.
Yeah. And so you were shocked at that too, right?
Yeah, whenever I first went. But now I know that that's, I think, the only bingo that's like that. All the rest of them,
the
big bingo halls down in Clear Lake and League City, those are
mostly old people.
A little bit more geriatric crowd. Yeah.
So now the one in Carbach, when you win bingo, the way they did it, you had to kind of like rush to, if more than one person got bingo or won, they would have to rush to the stage because whoever got to the stage first would win the prize. Was that the same dynamic there or was it, did that never happen?
No, this one's, you could have multiple bingos. So
oh, really?
Yeah. So basically, the prize money, there's $125 or $150 for a few of the games and then they go $200, $400, and $600 for the,
how much are the boards?
Games, whatever. $10. And then the, what happened? So, if you, they just take off 5% tax off the money.
Uh-huh.
And then whoever wins it, they just split it all.
Hmm.
I've won $17 or something like that once because I split a bingo with six people.
Really?
But that was about 4 years ago.
But, I mean, you think about it. When you go to the bars or whatever like that, you're looking for entertainment. You're looking for, you're obviously going to drink. And you want to be around your friends. So, if you bring your booze, so it's cheaper already.
Right.
And you're already hanging out with your friends. And if there's lots of tables of young people. So, there's a chance you could either hook up or meet some people. And it's entertaining and it kills time. Makes sense to me.
Yeah. I mean, I've done it a few times ever since. Like I said, ever since I went to the Carbach one, then I was like, okay, this could be fun. Because I was hanging out with nothing but you know, youngins, and you're right. You like to drink. You just talk to your friends. It's a pretty, pretty fun dynamic. Now that Barry is out, today's he's out. Adie Hodge is the comedian of the week.
I like how we just got a text randomly this morning, like, hey, here's your comedian of the week.
Adie Hodge. So that will be Barry Laminack's comedian of the week. We decided not to use Barry's voice again for the audio clips because we did that, what, 2 weeks ago?
Whenever he was out the last time. Yeah. And Adie Hodge, new comic on the scene. He's worked with Barry. I think recently he worked with Barry in Austin.
In Austin, yeah.
But Barry's looking out for a hardworking, grinding new comedian in the business. So trying to give him some love. So clips at 1:15, 2:15, 3:15 of Adie Hodge. We'll have those coming up, as well as the full show. Lots to get to on the show. And of course, lots of topics. News coming out of Texans, Rockets, and Astros camp. So we'll have all that and more coming up on the show. And of course, if there's something on your mind you want to get off your chest, we're always here for you. 713-780-3776. That's the HRNP listener line. You can call that number. You can text that number. You can also hit us up on Twitter where it's at the producer Nick, at Pac-Man Joel with a K, and is it at Tyler Drew Scott? Boom! There you go. That's how you reach us. We'll reach you for the next 3 hours. It's the usual suspects. It's ESPN 97.5.
Is the usual suspects on ESPN 97.5
and on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Ooh, I'm tall in them boots, girl. All right, let me make sure I stand in the light. Because I don't want nobody getting the idea that I look like Dave Chappelle or JJ in real time. Make sure I do that.
Hey, there you go. Adie Hodge is our comedian of the week. Barry out. Adie Hodge in as our comedian of the week. Barry gave us the selection saying that he's newer, but he works his tail off. He's worked with Barry in the past, including in Austin recently, so we're giving him some love. If you missed that first clip, don't worry. 2:15, 3:15, other clips coming up. So there you go with that.
Adie Hodge.
Yep. With that being said, you watched the game last night? You said you were out and about hanging in Anna Nicole's crib. But
I did watch a lot of, I think I watched the first quarter, second quarter, and the fourth, I think. So
you missed the third.
I missed a portion of the third.
Okay.
Yeah. Because I was drinking too. So I was
just using deductive reasoning.
I feel you. I feel you.
So what your thoughts? A little surprised?
Not too surprised. I expect Golden State to make adjustments. I did feel like, Joel, that they gave Toronto way too many open looks behind the three-point line, especially at the beginning, that may or may not have helped with the momentum in the beginning. But from a defensive standpoint, I think if Golden State makes the adjustments, which I think they will, I still think Golden State will handle this team. But like I said before, I am convinced now that Kawhi could put a team on his back. And that's why I expect this series to go seven games. Now, I could be wrong.
So there's so much to unfold here, because here's the thing. I said to you going into yesterday's game, like, their role players have to step up. We know there's four guys that are going to play for Golden State.
Yep.
But the role players have to step up for Toronto to have a chance, and they did. But the thing is Golden State is a top three defensive team, and they've been that way over the last 3-4 years. They didn't do anything like that. You're right, because they allowed Toronto to dictate tempo when Toronto wanted to go fast. Their outlet passes had a guy in back of the defense every time for a layup, it seemed. When they wanted to fight, you know, to attack a made basket and come back at Golden State was stuck on their heels. And that was surprising to me. You know, you're right in that here's the thing. From a Golden State perspective, I still believe, because I know that everybody loses their mind, just like we've seen throughout the playoffs, just like when Milwaukee won the first two games, the series was over. Everybody after last night thinks, boom, it's over. I mean, Toronto should be winning this series. It's just one game. The rust was very apparent for the Warriors.
But for Boogie, you mean, too?
Or Boogie, just the whole thing, because they had 9 days, right? So with that being said, there's so many things that can change and adjustments that will be made. But you also have to factor in, yeah, now they're saying it's definite. KD's going to play at some point in the series. Boogie, as you mentioned, played last night. But Iguodala, if that's serious, it looked like a hamstring to me. If that's serious and Iguodala's either not 100% or he's not going to play, that really, really sets Golden State back.
Without a doubt. I mean, you know what I felt like when LeBron... LeBron and the Cavs won that championship against Warriors, and I think one of the things I brought up was Iguodala. I think also I brought it up with when Chris Paul got his hamstring when he put in the 7-game series last year, and I said, you know what? Yeah, Chris Paul was out, but Iguodala was out as well. How important is Iguodala to this team? And every time you ask anybody, whether it's a Golden State beat writer covering that team or from a national perspective, everybody understands the value of Iguodala on this Golden State Warriors team. And now you've got a Boogie Cousins, okay, who only played 8 minutes. He had 2 good assists that helped continue the momentum for that team. I can see the adjustments happen I feel like the adjustments are being made like right now.
They have to be. I think you're right. But here's the other thing. You talk about everything that you said, and you're right. If Draymond's the heart and soul, then Iggy's the glue. But the one thing that you got to factor in, too, before you start giving this series to Toronto is, on a certain play in the first half, Kawhi did something to retweak whatever's been bothering him in the last series.
Yeah.
And if he's not 100%.
That's bad.
That's really bad.
Really bad. You're not doing anything without Kawhi if you're the Toronto Raptors. And I love everybody. I love a lot of people on that team. Like, you got to give a lot of credit to Siakam. Mm-hmm. I think he was one of the players that were. Was he most improved or up for most improved?
He's going to win it.
Okay. And he had a great game. 32 points, 40 minutes, 14 from 17 from field goal range.
Yeah, I don't know if you're going to see that again.
I don't know. I don't think you will. I mean, Kawhi Leonard was 5 for 14. So
Kawhi Leonard only makes... Okay, so here you go. So let me give you the scenario. You didn't watch the game last night. I come in and I tell you, all right, before you tell me what you think happened, I'm going to tell you Steph went off. He got whatever he got, 30-some. Klay got his. Kawhi only had 5 made field goals. Who won the game?
I would say the Warriors for sure.
Right?
If I didn't watch and I just saw that box score, that would be my hot box score take. You know, because there's no way you're going to win a playoff game with Kawhi winning like that. But that's just the dynamic. I mean, people are stepping up for Toronto, and that's good. I just don't know how long that's going to last.
And here's the other thing that I'm going to fact, because I'm going to tell you something that I hope lasts, but I don't know if it will. But I'll say this. The other unsung hero of the game last night was that crowd, because for the first finals game ever out of North America, out of the United States, in Canada, and the fact that that crowd, normally, look, when you get your first finals game, it's loud in the first quarter. But they maintain it the entire game, and when they got juiced about a big play, the crescendo and how they stuck with it. If they can do that in every game in this series, that's huge for the Raptors.
Yeah. If you continue to get the performances, like if Siakam continues to, he doesn't necessarily have to get 32 points and shoot whatever it was, like a 14 from 17. But if you continue to get that good play out of them, it's still going to be a much more difficult situation for the Golden State Warriors. I still think they'll be able to overcome it. Fred VanVleet also had 15 points, 5 for 8, 1 for 4 from 3-point land.
Lowry didn't get a bunch of points, but he was effective with assists, hustle plays, all those things.
Yeah. And that's, look, they're going to need all that. They're going to need to do a lot of moving without the ball, I feel like. I think they're going to have to spread the floor. They're going to have to definitely move the ball a lot if they have a chance to beat this team in the series. But I wouldn't even be surprised if Toronto won game 2.
Well, but here's the thing. I always say this, and it's a longtime NBA saying as well, but the bottom line is the series doesn't start till someone wins on the other team's home floor.
Right.
So I think Toronto is supposed to, and they have to win game 2, because I'm going to stick to my guns and say Warriors in 6, because you don't overreact to the first game or any one game. And the thing that I'm sticking with, why I'm sticking with what I'm saying, is regardless of whether KD plays or not, this team looked like it had 9 days off. Because no matter how much you scrimmage in the time that you're not in between series, it's so much different than when you're playing in a real NBA playoff game, when you're getting bumped and hit and, you know, physical, and all the guys are doing the things they're doing. Your own teammates are never going to play that hard on you defensively in a practice.
Yeah, no doubt. Now, we're probably going to have to wait and get this on the other side, but what were your initial thoughts of the whole Draymond Green-Siakam situation after the game?
Well, you mean Drake, right?
Yeah.
Draymond Green, Drake, or Siakam?
Oh, yeah, the trash talk.
Yeah, yeah, because, first of all, the reporter's way out of line when she said the scuffle, and he handled it well by saying, scuffle to me is I hit him, he hits me, or we push each other.
Right.
But you know what? It's kind of like when everybody made a big deal and didn't realize Draymond and LeBron were tight when they got into it before. This is the finals, man, and people are going to talk, and they're going to go back and forth. But if it was really serious, like when it happened with Kendrick Perkins when he was in street clothes when the Cavs were playing the Raptors, and really security had to get involved, security was right there. If something was really going to go down, they would have already been in between them. So I'm sure it was just playful, you know, crap talk.
Right.
Just like Drake pulling lint out of Steph Curry's hair and then someone saying they were selling it on eBay.
Right, right.
I think Drake is making the most of all the exposure he's getting out of this series, and I don't make any more of it.
Yeah, I probably would say the same thing. And Drake has always been a guy that wants to be on the spotlight when he's on the court. Let's be real. I mean, he's a basketball fan, so he's going to do that. So I definitely want to get into that a little bit. I felt like that was pretty interesting, but Draymond Green was kind of upset about the question after the game, and I thought that was kind of funny.
Yeah, and you know, the other thing that I liked about all this is Draymond's not as much Draymond. He's not over the top as much. He said, well, I think before like game four of last series, where he said, I got to tone it down. I would even hate me on the court. And since then, he's been even, there were a couple times last night where I was like, oh, Draymond's going to get up in that official's face and he's not going to have that. And instead, he just took the no call in stride and he got back up, went down the other. I was like, he needs to do that.
He's definitely maturing. Even when he was asked about poking James Harden in the eyes, he was really mature about the answer. I think if you asked that same question to Draymond Green two seasons prior to that, he would have been a lot more defensive answering that question. And he would have went off on the reporter. But when the reporters asked him about poking James Harden, he's like, look, man, it was completely unintentional. I did not mean to hurt him. And I don't think that's the same Draymond Green you would have got at a podium 2 years ago.
Oh, you're right.
I don't think you do.
I think you're absolutely right. So when you look at the stats from last night, Curry and Thompson combined for 55. Kawhi Leonard only makes 5 field goals. And Golden State loses by 9. So don't overreact, but at the same time, Toronto did what they had to do. They won game one, and now we move on from there. So we can talk about that. We can talk about Drake. We got so much more to talk about, Rockets and otherwise. If you want to join the conversation, 713-780-3776, HRNP listener line. Call or text that number. Hit us on Twitter. Back with more Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. Trying to run up and take my slab. This one here for my boy Lil Key. I'm throwing the deuce up and giving boys dab. Throwing the juice up and giving that ab. Waving hood soda face showcase. Mechanic.com.
This is the Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5
and on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, rolling through hour number one, 3 hour show, Usual Suspects, FEF Friday, right here on ESPN 97.5. Oh, by the way, the number one sports station in the city of Houston, Texas. So you don't have to believe me. You can believe, well, just basically almost every show in our lineup and the columnists when they get smart enough to write about it and the ratings themselves and the people, because the suspects started this long before everybody else jumped on board. But we appreciate you guys. And of course, that's why you're a part of the show. As we continue to roll on, we were talking a little bit about the finals. You want to get more into this Drake stuff.
I was trying to listen to the audio in the break about, I guess he kind of, I don't know if he berated the reporter that asked the question, but at the end of it, I think he asked, do you have a basketball question? And I can understand if you're a basketball player, that can be kind of frustrating for you because you don't want to necessarily talk about the controversy or the, you know, the gossip or anything negative when you're stepping up to a podium after a loss in a playoff game in in the NBA Finals. But I think it was actually a worthy question.
It's just the way she phrased it, right? It was a female reporter. I saw her do her stand-up online after the exchange, and she kind of laughed it off. But the bottom line is, for any one of us or anybody that's obviously grown up and you know, been in some altercations or whatever, whether it's sports-wise or otherwise, if you say the scuffle means you probably either went to blows.
A lot of times there was some physical nature to the situation. Yeah.
Right.
Even if it wasn't that big, there was some sort of physical nature to the situation. When you describe the word, when you use the word scuffle.
Right. So you could have said, hey, what was the back and forth between you and Drake as you were leaving the court? And he probably would have addressed it differently. Now, to his credit, he didn't like completely belittle her or anything like that. He just basically said, look, in my mind, that wasn't a scuffle. But for the most part, he downplayed it, too. I'm glad they didn't interview Drake because, look, as long as he's in and around his seat and he's enjoying himself, that's fine.
And he's getting plenty of attention doing that.
Well, he knows what he's doing because he trolled everyone by wearing a Del Curry jersey.
Yeah.
To start the series. So obviously they even had someone had their camera, their phone behind the Curry parents to see when they first saw Drake for the first time with the jersey on, and they were laughing. So I mean, it obviously Steph's not worked up with him. So
no.
I mean, they got bigger fish to fry than worried about Drake. And I think that it's like you said, I think the adjustments are already being made. I think that rust was part of it. But I think that, 9 days off is a tough time to keep a well-oiled machine moving and grooving like they were doing. But I think they'll get it back.
Yeah, I think they're fine. I think they'll be fine. Especially this one game alone probably did a lot for the rust that they had being off for so long, waiting for another team from the East. Waiting from a team to come out of the East and face them in the NBA Finals. So I think Kerr's all over this. He's already making the adjustments. I think the players know what they have to do. As a matter of fact, maybe Kerr doesn't necessarily need to do that much. He knows the situation.
No, that's what I'm saying. As long as they get back to... The defense is the biggest thing for me.
Yeah.
Because look, Klay missed a lot of shots. He's not going to miss those shots throughout the entire series. He's not going to be Fred VanVleet. When he gets the open shots... After getting the rust off, he'll be fine.
KD coming back too soon with the calf situation. We talked about how that's supposed to be about a month, right?
Right. So here's the deal. So the latest is they just said he's definitely out for game two. But they are now saying Chris Haynes of Yahoo Sports and others have jumped on the bandwagon saying barring a setback, Kevin Durant is expected to return from a right calf strain at some point in the midway range of the NBA Finals. Now, assuming that's not going to be too late, even if Toronto takes the first two games, as long as you hold serve on your home court, if you can bolster your lineup with a guy with the magnitude of Kevin Durant later in a series, it can be series altering.
Okay, so now let's just assume Golden State game two, they still won. Does that allow you or afford you more time with Kevin Durant?
No question. If Golden State wins, you don't rush him back. If you go down 0-2, and if it goes the same way this one went in terms of defensive breakdowns, offensive inefficiency, then I think that it starts putting you in a position of it's now or never. Because if we get him back and we're down 0-3 or whatever, if we've dug too deep of a hole, Toronto's a good enough team that you're not going to just run them down for three straight games.
So how much extra time could you give them? Do you wait till game three? Do you wait till game four?
So here's the thing. The bonus, when you look at the schedule, it's not like a lot of the series where there's only one game in between. There's two games between every game in this series, at least in the early going. So the fact of the matter is, you may buy almost a week. You can get 2 to 3 days for every game, 2.5 days. So you figure he doesn't play in game two. So now he's already getting today, tomorrow, and Sunday.
Right.
All right. Then that with the travel days, they get Monday and Tuesday off where they come back Wednesday. If they somehow win game two and they don't need him Wednesday, he can go all the way till next Friday or Saturday before he plays again. That extra week can be huge.
Yeah. Because it's been how many weeks now? I don't know exactly when the injury happened, but I want to say
it's been. Yeah, at least I don't know the exact time frame, but you figure it was game five of the Rockets series. So it was at least 3 weeks because you talk about the entire Denver series for them. And then 9 days on top of that.
Yeah. I mean, that's plenty of rest for someone like, because it's not like he's old.
But the injury, as I told you guys, I've had them before. I've had calf injuries like that before. And I always said it's at least a month. So, you know what? It can feel real good, real close just by walking around. But until you get on the court and really push it, because basketball isn't just like, jogging or something like that, where once you get your legs moving, it's just consistent cardio. With the stopping and the starting and the jabbing and the changing of directions, that's where your calf really gets, put the screws to it to see if it can hold up.
And especially with the fact that this is not his first calf situation. So he's kind of dealt with a calf injury before throughout his career. He's not old, but he's not young. I mean, I think he's 30, so... And he's a superstar, so you got to obviously be careful with the situation. I think the best possible situation is you have a bad game. I mean, for Golden State, mm-hmm. not just for me, because I don't have a stake in the game. But like, if Toronto has a bad enough game to the point where they could win on the road without Kevin Durant, because then I feel like the series is practically over. And I might even change my, I can't, but I would be more comfortable with saying, you know what, this series might go six games since they stole game two. Mm-hmm. But you never know. You never know. I don't know how much.
So here's what I can say now that I couldn't say before, but I got friends from the Bay Area that told me Durant's already been on the court. They just haven't made it.
So May 8th
open
is when it happened. It's okay. May 31st.
Okay.
So that's what, 20?
So about 3 weeks.
23 days, yeah.
About 3 weeks. So I had friends tell me a couple days ago, he's already on the court. And then I looked at, couldn't find anywhere on the internet, so I didn't go out with it. But now, according to Chris Haynes in this article, it said, Steve Kerr announced Wednesday Durant was cleared to take part in individual on-court basketball activities, but the All-Star who had missed the past six postseason games actually has already began his on-court basketball workouts. He did that earlier this week. So that's a really good sign if you're with the Warriors, because obviously if there's a setback, just like when they sent Altuve down for the Astros, if there's any kind of setback, you bring him back and you just got to stop until he heals more. So if he's already been on the court this week and he's been doing individual activities and testing it out, they're probably pretty comfortable that he's close.
Plus he's traveling.
Yeah, that too.
If it wasn't like initially, I'm assuming you can't travel with when the calf injury initially happens, right? You have to wait.
It's a good point. It's not the travel itself in terms of being away from all their facilities and everything. It's the altitude right. when you get in the plane. And a right. lot of times they make you wear like spandex tights or something for the blood flow and all the other things. So yeah, that wasn't, you're right. That's another good sign. If he's traveling and flying, then it's probably that it's close.
It's closer. It's
closer to him playing again.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's going to be interesting to see. Kevin Durant, I mean, he's obviously a key player in this team. So
take predictions out of the way. Are you pulling for the Raptors?
Yeah, obviously. I'm not because I'm a fan, but because who wants to see the same team win? It's like the Patriots. Like Who wants to see the same team win over and over and over again? And I honestly feel like the era could be near. Unless they find some miracle way to keep that core together, which we've talked about a bunch on this show, how are you going to keep Klay Thompson? The guy is just an absolute beast. How are you going to keep Curry, Green, Klay Thompson? Boogie, even though he got injured, look what he's doing coming back from the initial Achilles injury, then dealing with the injury he has now, coming back, and even though it's only 8 minutes, he still played pretty efficiently. You can't ask for more.
His passing, Charlie even said he didn't do anything. I was like, boy, the two passes he made,
that helped a lot.
Not many big men can make the passes that he made. And again, his is going to be more of the cardio aspect of it, because you could see he was gassed.
Sure.
But again, with those days off, if you continue to work, if you continue on the court, and with every game, you're going to get more wind, you're going to be in better shape, you're going to have a chance to make a difference in this series. So that's what I want. I don't want to see Golden State win it again. I hate these dynasties. I get sick and tired of it. And obviously, as a Houston fan, you don't want to see the Patriots or the Warriors or before them, the Spurs. It gets old. So I'm pulling for the underdog. Absolutely. I'd like to see the Toronto do well, but I want it to be a long series. I want it to be something that I want to watch instead of going, oh, that's over.
And I don't think it's necessarily a bad thing for basketball, even though the NBA, I don't know, I'm assuming the NBA wants Golden State to win, but
I don't think so.
I don't know if they care. I mean, I don't think it's a bad thing for basketball if Toronto wins this series, and wins the championship. I don't think it's a bad thing for basketball at all. So
evidently, people feeling like us. Hopefully, it's a longer series, so it's compelling and better basketball. The numbers came out from a TV perspective last night after Game 1. It delivered about a 10 household rating across the country. Numbers on a five-year trend. Lowest number in 5 years for a finals Game 1. And Game 1 down 19%. From adults 25 to 54 from last year alone. So if you are the NBA, you are not happy about those figures, numbers, and statistics. So Houston was a minus 8% over the previous year. You kind of expected that. If the Rockets aren't in, I think people have already checked out.
For sure.
Yeah.
For sure. Especially Houston.
All right, so let's talk about some Rockets-related things as we continue to move forward. Because here's the other thing. As we were getting off the air yesterday, and we touched on it briefly, Tillman Fertitta, Daryl Morey press conference, extension talks with Mike D'Antoni are over. Numbers to be discussed there. And then from a perspective of where this team goes forward, when everybody is supposedly on the table for possible trade opportunities, and you look at that, if Kawhi Leonard doesn't stay, and I've got something that says he won't, if Kawhi Leonard doesn't stay, and he ends up going to, say, the Clippers or anywhere out in the West, the Rockets' road gets a lot tougher. And that makes decision-making over on Polk Street a lot more interesting. So we'll talk about that. Got a whole bunch more to talk about. The Astros on the road to start a week-long West Coast swing starting in Oakland this evening. So we'll catch up on that at some point as well. And if you want to join the show, 713-780-3776, HRNP, listen line, call, text, hit us on Twitter. Back with more Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
Plus.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, rolling along. We've been talking NBA Finals. Got Rocket stuff to get to, Astro stuff to get to, even a little Texans news today on an FAF Friday on The Usual Suspects. Appreciate you taking us along for the ride, wherever you may be in the big city, whether your weekend is already started or you are still hard at work. We appreciate you having us on the airwaves. If you missed it, the F Yeah Comedian of the Week, funny, is A.D. Hodge. He's worked with Barry in the past, including recently in Austin. He's a newer comic. He's grinding. He's trying to get out there and get his name out in the business. So we are doing our part and getting his clips out there. If you missed the 115 clip, you can always go to ESPN975.com and you can catch up with the show tab, The Usual Suspects, see what you missed, including the first clip of A.D. Hodge. But we'll have another one at 215, another one at 315 as we roll on. So before we get to any more basketball or baseball or otherwise, I know there's plenty of Rockets news that we started talking yesterday that people are going to want to talk about, but I wanted to get to this because Barry mentioned it yesterday. Did you see how the spelling bee guys ended?
I didn't watch it.
I saw something about it on Facebook.
I'm not pleased about this. This is my equivalent of, what do they call it? When everybody gets a trophy? A participation trophy?
Yeah. Like FFPS soccer, or FFPS, which is fun, fair, positive soccer.
Yeah. You know what? You know what the S stands for, Tyler? Not soccer. Sucks. That's what it should stand for. Because you know what? You're not teaching any kid to go get things in life if everybody gets a trophy. Now, I will say this. The prerequisite to the spelling bee, and here's some, we'll get to some of the other things of what I don't agree with, but at least every one of the eight finalists, when they finally called after 20-some rounds, they decided it was going to end in a draw with all eight being declared the winner. And all eight got the trophy. More importantly, all eight got 50 grand.
How much are they really making if all eight?
Thank you. That was 50
grand.
You and I were talking about it before the show, and I said, one, look, it's good that every kid's going to get the money as if they won it. But how much money hand over fist is the damn spelling bee making? And what are they pocketing if they can afford to give away instead of a $50,000 first prize? They're giving away, Nick, do the math, 8 times 5.
40.
Okay, there you go. So they're now instead of giving $400,000 instead of $50,000 for their first prize.
For the first time in its 92-year history, this has happened. So what they officially determined in the middle of the situation, it was if all eight spelled their 12th word correctly, that they would all share the championship. So I guess they were put in a position, and I don't know if they were necessarily happy about giving, you know, throwing out the 400.
You can't be happy about giving 350 extra $1,000 out.
But I guess it would be a bad look if they made the decision for them to all share the championship and only one or two or a portion of the eight people.
It went 20 rounds before the eight kids spelled their last word right. They said they ran out of words. What? What are you talking about?
It lasted 20 rounds and over 3 hours, so I guess they were just tired of the situation. They didn't want to let this thing go. It's the spelling bee. We're not going to let this go over till tomorrow. And all eight of them were holding their little championship trophy.
12th word of the night for each kid if they completed and finished in the top eight out of 557 original contestants between the ages of 7 and 14. You did not run out of words. You didn't. Tyler, BS.
Okay, so I don't know whether or not this is the same family that is. I assume it is because it looks like they're in broadcast television, broadcast radio, the Scripps National Okay. The spelling bee. I believe this is the same family. If it is, then that family is worth $7.5 billion.
The Scripps family?
Scripps family, yeah.
Because, yeah, it is the Scripps National Spelling Bee.
They also own, it looks like they own the Food Network, HGTV, Cooking Channel, geez. A bunch of other stuff, Travel Channel, and some other stations.
So they're loaded.
So they're not hurting for money. Okay, then that's great, and I appreciate them doing that for the kids. But you know what? If it's going to be televised, and it's a sports competition because it's being televised on ESPN, for God's sake, then we want to see competition. We want to see this thing keep going. You didn't run out of words. They said, no, we didn't run out of words, but we ran out of words that would challenge our spelling bee cartoon. How do you know? How the hell do you know?
They just looked at that group of kids and they're like, man, these kids are not going to misspell anything. We're never going to go home. They're just tired. They're like, let's go home.
Well, I mean, so they said, okay, look, we may run out of words. There was 20 rounds. All remaining spellers were named co-champions. To me, especially when that much money's on the line, and like I said, and you're televising it, and it makes dramatic television. Because just when you think some kids got it all figured out, they're going to screw up what you thought was an easier word.
Yeah.
Barry said it yesterday. Spell Noel like grassy knoll.
Oh, I missed. I had no idea.
You put a U in there.
K-N-O-L-L.
I hate you so much.
What'd you just say?
K-N-O-L-L.
You are correct,
right,
sir.
He said it right.
You are one step closer to not winning $50,000 because it's over. And they made a bunch of money, but they gave out a bunch of money, and that's the way it goes. So these kids, 13, 14, 13, 13, 13, 12, 13, 13, all get 50 grand.
Yeah. And I saw all the words that the last word that they spelled correctly.
Some good of luck. Them. Wait, wait. Okay, Tyler. Wait, Tyler. Wait.
He's going to put you on the spot
now. Yes, I am. Let's go with... And you can't cheat, Tyler.
Give them the easier one.
Okay, you give it.
To start.
Which one's the easier one?
The one that starts with a P. The one, Palama?
First of all, you're out.
Palama?
Pendulo Q. Okay? Tyler Scott.
Say that word again.
Tyler Scott. And your first word is Pendulo Q. A usually pear-shaped glass pendant used for ornamenting a lamp or chandelier.
Pendulo Q?
Correct.
P-E-N-D.
Mm-hmm.
E-L.
Mm-hmm.
L.
Mm-hmm.
I-Q-U-E.
Two letters off, but it was pretty close.
P-E-N-D-E-L-O-Q-U-E.
So one L and no I.
Okay.
You added an L and you added an I.
Okay.
Yeah, but no big deal.
So Soham Sucka Kantankar didn't get that or got that one right. Sucka Tankar. Okay. All right. I see what you're saying, Nick. But Tyler, you should get this one. All right. Abhijay Kodali, 12 years old, got this one right. No pressure on you. Palama. The webbing on the feet of aquatic birds. I would assume like a duck.
Now, there's another word that is paloma, which is a tequila and grapefruit drink. I'm just going to assume it's spelled the same way. So I'm just going with P-A-L-O-M-A.
Wrong.
You spelled the spelling of the alcohol. You did not spell the webbed feet of an aquatic bird, which was Palama. P-A-L-A-M-A.
And that was just the easiest word of that list at the end. That wasn't necessarily like the easiest word. It was just the easiest word on that list.
Sernuous. Sernuous. Inclining, nodding, or drooping. Kind of like on an off day for your thing. Or used of a plant.
Sernuous?
Sernuous.
I love how we're putting Tyler on the spot now.
See how it feels?
Sernuous. Sucks.
No, you like being on the other side of this.
Oh, yeah. I feel great watching Sernuous. Him struggle. Absolutely.
I'm not going to go the obvious S. I'm going to go C-E-R-N-U-O-U-S.
Boom! You, my friend, have got it.
Right.
Nice job, Tyler, right there. Other words, odilic.
There's no way you're getting that. If you get that, then I'm just going to walk up and just leave the studio.
Well, I know what idyllic is. Okay. And that is I-D-Y-L-L-I-C. So
don't do it. Don't do it.
Don't do it.
Okay.
Like
you're maybe. Okay.
So I'll go.
Actually, it's kind of close, bro.
Go.
O D I L L I C.
There's a Y in there.
There's a Y?
Yeah.
So it's basically the same thing, but just O D Y L L I C.
One L.
Okay. Yeah.
See, it's the one, two, the double L's and the double, you know, that stuff will throw you off easily.
I saw some of the recent, some of the numbers they were throwing around. These families, when you think, well, they made 50K. No, they really didn't. Because when you look at what the, like, what they pay coaches that have been through the spelling bee before that are like working with these kids and how much money they're spending to get these kids prepped for this thing, it's nuts. How dedicated, no wonder why, like, the dad used to, was a finalist and his kids are in it. Because, man, hopefully if he can home teach the coaching aspect of it. Crazy money in the spelling bee. Who knew?
So I'm dumb, and I did not know there were spelling bee coaches.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. They're making money doing this?
In the thousands of dollars
to be a coach. There's an industry for this?
Yes.
Thousands of dollars to be a spelling bee coach?
That is correct.
No way.
Yep.
Is there like known spelling bee coaches?
I read the article this morning. I have to find the other article for you. But yeah, with some of the people that, and some of the money that they were spending to get these kids so that they knew, because like when I said the name to Tyler, or I gave the word to Tyler, there's based on when they ask for the origin of the word, you know, when they always say, can you use it in a sentence? Origin. When they say origin, based on if it's like a Greek word or a French, whatever, that will tell you from the vowel structure to, like Tyler was saying, whether it's a Y or an I. And essentially, it becomes like your brain gets trained when you hear the word and know the origin that, boom, oh, because it's from Greece, it's going to have an OU vowel.
That's insane to me.
Me too.
We know there's some, I don't know if we're back on. I know we were, I guess, off the air for a little bit, but yeah, I think we're addressing it right now.
Apparently we had a power outage.
Okay. Oh, so we're back up.
We're back.
We'll fight the power. We've got the power. And hour number two is right around the corner on the usual suspects. Back with more ESPN 97.5.